A recent Die Welt article calling Czechia the sick man of Europe in economic terms received a great deal of attention in this country. The headline quote came from Tomáš Dvořák, a young Czech economist with the UK-based analytics firm Oxford Economics. So why is Czechia the only EU state not to have yet returned to pre-COVID GDP levels? And what can be done to improve its economic outlook? I discuss those questions and more with Tomáš Dvořák at our Prague studio. Tell us something about yourself, Tomáš. You have a very strong British accent. How long have you been living in the UK?
About 10 years. Although now, so in this year, in 2023, I've actually moved back to Czech Republic. Or I'm sort of living in between. I still work in the UK, I still work in London, but I also spend a lot of time in Czech Republic as well.
I can hear a slight Scottish accent. And I know you studied in Glasgow.
Right.
Why Glasgow?
Do you know what? It might sound like a funny reason. I was very keen to study in the UK. That was always the goal. And back then, before Brexit, in Scotland, EU citizens didn't have to pay tuition fees. So that made it much more attractive. That was the initial reason, I have to say, having lived in Scotland for a few years. I love the country. It very deeply grew on me. So I feel a bit bad saying I chose it because of the money initially. But yeah, great, great place.
And what about Glasgow itself? Because I love Glasgow. I think it's one of the greatest cities ever.
It is. I absolutely agree with that. I would say it takes a bit of time to like Glasgow, I think. Because I remember even when I arrived, I thought, this is going to be a rough 4 years. But it's not a love at first sight. It takes a bit of time. It's rough around the edges, but it's the people there are amazing. It's a really vibrant city, great music scene. I recommend it very much. People don't, you know, especially tourists, tend to skip Glasgow for other places. And I get why, because it's not beautiful in the traditional sense, but it's great.
Recently, you were quoted in an article that got a lot of attention here in Die Welt, saying that Czechia is the sick man of Europe economically. When and how did Czechia become the sick man of Europe, as you call it?
Well, if you take it chronologically, then I suppose we did become the sick man of Europe during the pandemic, or right after it, when we never actually quite recovered from it, at least economically, that is. So if you look at GDP, which is, I suppose, the main measure, we never reached the pre-pandemic size of GDP since. So pandemic was the start, but then there's been other things, and I think it's quite important to maintain the chronological order. So after the pandemic, we've had the energy crisis. That was something where we were hit perhaps more severely than other EU economies. And after that, basically here we are. We're still struggling with the aftermath of that.
Why was Czechia hit harder than other EU states by the energy crisis?
For several reasons. First of all, this is not true anymore, but at the time we're still a net importer of energy commodities. But at the time, it was mainly from Russia. That made us quite vulnerable. Second of all, our economy is very energy, you can say intensive or inefficient, because when you look at sort of how much energy do we need to produce what we produce, we're actually very inefficient. We're technically the second worst in the EU behind Bulgaria. So that was another issue that sort of made the energy shock reverberate quite hard. And also, I mean, the economy itself is quite, you know, industry heavy, which in the past served us very well. That was the engine of growth. But in a crisis such as this, when energy becomes, or electricity becomes very expensive, then naturally an economy like ours is going to suffer. And it did.
And are there any other reasons why Czechia is the only state in the EU whose GDP is lower than it was at the time when COVID hit?
So far, we've only talked about the past, things that happened, right? I think we should also talk about the present and the near future. And in the present, it's not really the energy crisis or the inflation that's really stifling the economy. I know it sounds weird because prices are still high, but when you look at how they developed over 2023, since January, they've barely risen. So it sounds strange, but inflation is almost gone. And real incomes, they're growing at a very low pace, but in the last two quarters, they have been growing. So this is clearly not the issue. I'd say at the moment, the issue is mainly the high interest rates that we have, the tight monetary policy from the Czech National Bank, which is feeding through the economy. And this is, it's important to understand this is what the Czech National Bank is trying to do. This is their way, this is their tool of curbing high inflation, is to stem the demand. And this is exactly what they have done in several ways. You know, it has curbed investment by firms. It's also made savings more attractive because you earn a lot more interest on it. And so households are not spending now, they're saving. So that's what's happening right now. And then if you move on to the near future, just as it seems like the domestic economy might bounce off the bottom, we have different headwinds coming in. So first of all, the Czech economy is not doing very well, but neither is the Eurozone economy. That's, I think, fair to say. The Eurozone economy, Germany especially, is very important for us because we are very export-oriented. And if there's no demand in the Eurozone or weak demand in the Eurozone, we're going to suffer. And unfortunately, that's what seems to be happening right now. And I suppose the last elephant in the room to mention here is the fiscal side of things, the fiscal consolidation package that's going to progress in 2024. That's also going to drag on growth.
So essentially, Czechs have stopped spending. That's the issue.
That's the main, we like to call it headwind. Yes, that's the main headwind. And I should also say here that the fall in consumption or in spending has been massive. Dare I say unprecedented, because when we compare it to the drop in spending we've seen during the Great Financial Crisis, 2008, this has been about 4 or 5 times bigger, peak to trough. So that is, these are huge numbers, never seen before.
The Czech government is trying to ultimately balance the public finances through these austerity measures you referred to. But is it then the case that these policies themselves are contributing to the country's economic woes?
In the near term, yes. And I don't think even the government would dispute it. When you consolidate public finances, when you're cutting expenditures and raising revenues, yes, that is going to drag on growth. That's, you know, there's no denying that. The government would say that it's doing it with a good reason. Is doing it with an eye to the future. I have to partially agree in the sense that the government was faced with a very tricky situation because it has basically come into power in very difficult circumstances. It first really had to support the economy during COVID, and that was the right thing to do, by the way. Maybe all of the expenditures weren't properly aimed or properly targeted, but certainly as a whole, that was the right thing to do. Second huge shock came with the energy crisis, and again, I think very few people would argue that helping households and companies with capping the energy price was a bad idea. But these two were, even though they were technically one-off, they were huge expenditures. But in addition to that, the previous government has passed the income tax cut. That's not a one-off. That created a gap, what we call the structural deficit, in the budget. That's there every year. And that means the debt was rising. Now, I need to stress here that the debt levels in Czech Republic are quite low compared to everywhere in the advanced world. But they were growing at a fairly large pace, so some sort of consolidation was clearly needed. I suppose the question is, if the economy is not doing well at the moment, even without any consolidating, would it be a good idea to maybe structure the consolidation package a bit differently? Would it be maybe a good idea to slow the pace? I think that is up for discussion.
If we could speak more generally, Czechia for several years has one of, if not the lowest, rates of unemployment in the EU. But of course, there are very low salaries here. Maybe the low unemployment rate kind of masks the issue of low salaries, but that is a big factor in Czechia, it seems to me. Why is pay so low in this country?
So this is a very, very good question. I'm actually glad you asked it, but I'm also sad to say that I don't have the full answer. On one hand, this is a long-standing issue in that we are what economists call sort of the middleman in the supply chain. So we, especially in the industry, we tend to be the last step before the final product. Whether it's a car, whether it's a big machine, that usually tends to get made in Western Europe. And we produce the intermediate goods, the inputs. That is what we call low-value added input. And that basically means because over the long term, over the medium term, salaries kind of mirror the growth and value added, that's holding the salary growth back a little bit. At the same time, what I do find quite strange is we talked about how real wages, so adjusted for inflation, have fallen drastically during the energy crisis in the last couple of years, despite having extremely low unemployment. Now, if you take textbook economics, that shouldn't happen. If you have a very tight labour market, then nominal wage growth should be very strong, but it hasn't been. And in fact, the labour share of income has fallen over the last couple of years. This is something I struggle to explain. I think this is something that many economists would struggle to explain. but it maybe points to what I would call a non-standard working of the Czech labour market that is sort of holding the salaries down. Perhaps one thing would be that perhaps Czechs value having a job, being in employment, and that sort of certainty above stronger salary growth, but that's just speculation.
In the 90s, everything seemed so bright, the future looked so bright. Now, a lot of people are speaking very negatively about the Czech economy. Where did it all go wrong?
So, I think we need to sort of differentiate between what we call structural and cyclical weakness at the moment. So, cyclical weakness is something that's tied to the business cycle and that comes and goes. And if I really simplify it, that's something that will get better over time. And I think there's a big component to that as well. Sort of, for example, linked to high interest rates, that is a cyclical factor that is going to fade next year. But there are also structural issues. And I think we've really neglected certain trends and certain things that are going to be important for the future. I mean, sort of ignored them. And here I talk about mainly energy, the energy sector, the green transformation, perhaps growth in new technologies, and perhaps sort of trying to manage the manufacturing sector, which is still huge, in a way that sort of keeps moving up the value chain.
You're obviously not a policymaker yourself, but still, if somehow the government were to ask you for advice and say, what should we do to try to cure the sick man of Europe, what would you say?
Well, first of all, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, well, actually, I'm going to offer two bits on the near term. So in the very near term, there's not much we can do in that. You know, helping the economy takes time. Even if the government were to change its course today, that would still take a few quarters to work in. Same for the central bank. At the same time, I think the worst is nearly over. I think growth will return during next year. It might start slow, but it will build throughout the year. So that's the cyclical side of things. But if I were to advise government, first, I'd say we need a proper, solid vision and strategy that's going to remain beyond successive governments. We sort of need to build some sort of political consensus on certain things, because if one government does one thing, then the next one comes in 4 or 5 years' time and reverses the course. That's bad. And that's actually what has been happening in the past. And then we really need to focus on, I'd say, two things in the medium term. First one is the green transformation, which is even more important for us as an industrial country. And if we want to keep our industry like we did over the, you know, century, then that's something we really need to focus on. Decarbonize the energy sector. Our energy sector is obsolete. There's no other way of saying it. And the other one is we're facing a basically negative demographic trend. So our population is shrinking, and this is going to be difficult for the pension system. It's going to be difficult for the economy. We need to keep finding ways of how to basically fight that, whether it's, you know, helping with childcare so people on parental leave can work, whether it's having more inward migration, whether it's other ways. Housing is very tightly linked to it, but this is something that is already biting now, but is going to bite much more in 10 to 15 years.
When you mention green policies, sometimes it seems to me that green is almost a dirty word for Czech politicians. Would you agree?
Unfortunately, yes. Although I'd say one thing to maybe highlight here is that there's been a change in rhetoric in recent months from the government, mainly from the Prime Minister, on sort of acknowledging the scale of the challenge in the energy sector. And this is something I welcome. Of course, you know, that those are just words. We also need deeds. But this is a good first step. Sort of acknowledging the size of the issue is a welcome first step. But overall, I agree. I think maybe public opinion isn't quite as bad, but many politicians, you're absolutely right, they basically take green as an insult.